Tonight we'll be in James, finishing off James 1, 2 through 5, and then 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, still in suffering. We kind of introduced it last time, if you remember. Decided to call it the benefits of suffering. If you're thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. It does. Just give me a minute. Before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in tune. And for us, that means simply naming our sins to God the Father. We are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to grow spiritually. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit only works when we were cleansed, and therefore that's what we do. And then we are able also to apply the Word. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for the ability to just be on this earth and be able to grow in your plan, have a relationship with you, and just continually see that your grace is an open door to us in everything that you want to provide us. We ask that we can have clarity tonight in the Word. Show us the path that you want us to go down and lead us in the right direction. And we just thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So last time, if you remember, we finished up the book of Philippians. That was a pretty big deal. I don't know how long we took on there, but I know it was over a year. I feel like it was anyways. Then we got into suffering, and I thought it was going to be a little detour, which it is. But there's a few lessons on it that I think we can find some interesting things in, and that's the benefits of suffering. If there's anything that we need in suffering, it's some kind of benefit. Because, you know, when you're in that spot, when you're in that position in your life, anything that is positive is what we kind of cling to in those times. And the Word kind of gives us these very special little things just like that, is these little positive jewels to find that we need to talk about. And one of them has to do with suffering, or a few of them have to do with suffering. And so part of this study, I feel like, is to just show us that the suffering has many benefits involved. You know, we don't really view suffering that way, but the Word of God and God Himself has designed it to be such, as such, a benefit to us. So we can explore some of these things and take advantage of it, because when we don't take advantage of things like this, we can suffer just to suffer. And that's not the goal, and that's not God's motivation for us and why He wants us to do and think the what we're supposed to think in His plan. So the first slide is on James 1:2, and we went through this, but this is a new word I kind of wanted to show you. It says, "My brethren, consider it all joy when we fall into various tests and trials." So, verse 3, I'll go ahead and read that too. It says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And we kind of went through that first, or verse 2 there, about talked about joy a little bit. But then verse 3 kind of opens it up a little bit more, and I wanted to mention this word produces here because I think it's important. It's in green here, and it means to bring about a result by doing something, to achieve, accomplish, or to work down to an end point. So you can see it's in the passive voice, which is telling us who is producing the endurance. It's definitely not us, and we can verify that, all validate that, every one of us, when we go through testing. We're not the ones that produce our own endurance. We receive the endurance from the Word of God and God Himself, His power. So that passive voice is a lot more important than we think it is. So, but you can also see here that it's very clear that it's your faith. This is a personal pronoun. In other words, you possess it. It's something that you have, something that you express. And that's the underlying kind of what runs, how we run on the Christian life is faith. And it's calling it your faith. And that makes sense because without an object, our faith is simply blind faith. But as you already know, we do have an object. We have a very important object, and that's God Himself. So He's the one who completes that chain of trusting in our relationship with Him. We don't just have faith in nothing. It's our faith, and we do express faith because that comes from a responsibility and decisions that you have to make. But faith is rooted and grounded in the object of our faith. So right off the bat, you can see the link between joy in verse 2 there, and then in verse 3 that God is the one who is actually producing the endurance, or the patience was the word, if you remember. So we have joy, and then we have a production of patience and endurance. So you can see how those just go hand in hand together. When we're in the midst of suffering, I guarantee you one of the main things that we need is patience. We need patience. That's a big one. We can all testify to that here. Anything that we go through, we've just got to have that endurance and have that patience to get through whatever situation we're in. So you can kind of see how these go in a circle. The joy comes from the endurance, but we know where the endurance is coming from because it's the passive voice. So it's God Himself. You're receiving the action there. You just have to be the one to make a positive decision to trust in that time. So James 1:4, it says, "And let endurance," there's the same word, "have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's a pretty powerful verse. It says, let the faith that we just talked about and the patience that this is producing have its perfect or complete result. Another way to say this word is having reached its end. Having reached its end. So it's kind of a process going on here. You can see there's some kind of process that you can visually see in the text. In other words, be patient in God working in you and on your behalf to bring about the perfect and completed result. That's what we're dealing with here. We're actually trusting and waiting on God. What is He doing? What does He want me to do in this situation? Exclude what is actually happening for a moment and take what we're talking about now. What is God doing in the circumstance, and what does He want me to do? Because what is happening is there's something being produced, and it's endurance. It's the patience. But it's coming through your faith and your trust in God Himself. And that's an important part here. So you can see the next thing that says, so that, and you can kind of hear that it's rolling off to a purpose. There's a purpose of this. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The word perfect here means meeting the highest standard. Meeting the highest standard. And immediately, standards should come to your mind. We've talked about standards. We know about God's standards. Those things kind of come to mind now. And then the word complete here means to being complete and meeting all expectations with integrity, complete, undamaged, intact, or blameless. So I don't know about you, but this sounds like a good spot to be. If we're going through suffering and testing and adversity in our lives, perfect and complete, we can actually meet the highest standard. We're talking about a divine standard, God's standards within the suffering, within the testing, at the same time being complete, feeling complete. So all this is handling the testing God's way. That's what this is referring to, which meets His expectations and, of course, His standards. So that's the wholeness that God's word offers us. That's the fullness we receive when we're actually applying it, when we're receiving it through faith and doing 100% trusting in Him. That's what He offers us, even in the midst of testing. Because you notice that suffering usually tends to leave you damaged if you go through it in the wrong way. It leaves you weathered. It leaves you worn out. It can leave you worn out. So we're not discounting any of these things in testing, because these things come with suffering. They naturally come with that. But there's a couple ways to handle it. Are you going to handle it like this, or are you going to just suffer just to suffer? Because there's going to be pain. There's going to be tiredness. There's going to be wear and tear on your body. There's going to be days where you want to quit. Or you can have what we're just talking about and see it in a totally different manner. Because it's going to happen anyways. It's going to happen anyways. And I already told you last time, as growing believers, you have some suffering to be had. And I said that was a very good thing. Because not everybody is responsible enough and in a place in their life to handle the suffering as you can as growing believers. And I think that's an awesome thing. I'm really serious about this. It's exciting to me to be able to walk with you in a way where we're not singled out. You know, we're not just one person here, one person there. We're growing as a body. So guess what we will go through in some of the same, at some of the same times in our lives? Suffering. And that's a good thing. As we'll see, the word is very powerful if we allow it to just work on us. And that's what we need to do. And so this perfect and complete is what we're seeing we can have in the midst of this suffering. And so that's the wholeness that we're referring to, that God offers us. So verse 5. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom. Now see, before we got to this point, some of us are already backpedaling. This verse takes that into account. But if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. There is absolutely nothing wrong with asking for the wisdom to get through the suffering. Because a lot of times I feel lacking in that area, and maybe you do too. Sometimes we need that extra spiritual food, just that, you know, you think of the shoving it in the baby's mouth. Sometimes you get a real big one and just kind of stick it in there on them. Well, God will give you that big spoonful. You just have to ask Him. You just have to ask Him. Because when we're going through perseverance and testing and suffering, these are the kind of things that we need. We want the timing to be right. We want it to be in His plan, in His doing. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with asking. Verse 5, it says, but any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. In other words, there is no shame in asking for wisdom at all. There is no shame. God knows the deal. And it says, and it will be given to him. Now that sounds like a good deal to me. It will be given to him. And as you know, there is never a lack of spiritual food. God will continually provide for us. And he does. He has. Just look back on your life. So all we have to do is ask. So the word ask here is surprisingly an imperative. It's a command. It's saying you ask. You do ask. It's not saying you can ask. You know, when you first read through it, you think, okay, I can ask. I have that option. No, it's telling you to ask. It's saying, ask me for extra wisdom when you need it, because obviously we're going to need it. That's the way I take this. If we're getting a command to ask, there's no doubt in my mind we need it, right? So the word to ask is an imperative, and it means to ask for. It's to ask for with a claim on receipt for an answer. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? It can even mean to demand. I don't know about you, but I don't demand things from God. But that is in this definition. There's a sense of demand in here. And the way I take that is that it is our rightful place to ask God for just this content. And knowing without a doubt that He will provide wisdom when we need it and how you need it and where you need it. That's what He does. He's in the business of it. So even though it's a command, we can ask with boldness. We can ask knowing where we are in our lives and knowing what's coming down to us after that point. Because we have that wide open. That's a lot of times we forget when we're in that suffering, when we're in that spot, the bubble kind of surrounds us and we lose track of what's happening, and then all of a sudden it's us and nothing else. We've all been there. But that is not the case. Remember, we have a direct line to God Himself. Direct. As long as we're in the right status, as you know, filling of the Holy Spirit, talk, speak, speak your mind. Tell Him what you're thinking. Because remember, this is personal. This is a personal relationship that we're in. He wants to know what you need. He wants to know what you want. He wants to know if you need more wisdom. Just because He knows doesn't mean He doesn't want to hear from you. It's the point. You see, that's there. I think that has the link to faith right there. It's the matter that we are going to Him to ask means a lot. It means that we trust Him. It means that we trust Him not only with our life, but with our situation that we're in now. And He realizes that every time we say, you know what, I know where the solution is, and that's where I'm going to get my answer. And so that's what we do. That's that faith aspect coming through again. Don't ever stop praying throughout the day. It can be a 5-second prayer, but hey, every bit counts. And I didn't tell you the commands through verses 2 through 5, but here they are. There was actually 3 commands. You heard one of them was to ask. The first one was to consider it all joy. That was the first one in verse 2. That's a command, an imperative. The next one was, let endurance have its perfect result in verse 4. That was a command. And then, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask in verse 5. That was a command. So isn't that interesting? Consider, let endurance have its perfect result, and then ask. Ask for wisdom in this process. Now, I would have to say, if we follow this procedure, if we follow it as it is right here in this scripture, how can we be wrong? We cannot be wrong. That's part of the beauty of the truth. If we follow it, if we want to see it track in our own lives, if we want to see A, B, C, D, God will provide and He will fulfill His part. He's the one who does this. He's the one who not only provides, but sees the applicational part of that come to fruition. And that's what we all want. That's what we all want to see. We're looking, remember, we may be looking for something that God is doing in our lives in these situations. So that's part of it, all part of that. And since we're talking about suffering, we surely can't leave Paul out of the conversation, because, of course, he's in a lot of this, but he wrote 2 Corinthians, and we know for a fact that Paul did a lot of suffering, a lot of suffering. And when I think of any growing believer doing it till the very end of his life, I think of Paul. I think of Paul. So 2 Corinthians 12:7. I sometimes reference this verse, but I figured we could go through it to take a look at it. It's the thorn in the flesh verse. It's a good verse. And I have a slide on it. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So, this to torment, it means to cause physical impairment, which is diminished or loss of function or ability. So this is seriously, this is suffering. We're talking about a loss of function or ability in Paul or us, right? We have this, whatever it may be. When we think of a thorn, you think of something. And, well, this doesn't sound like very much fun, does it? Think of a thorn. But what's the alternative we can see in this verse? Do you see the alternative? Well, according to this passage, it says exaltation of self. The word is to have an undue sense of one's self-importance, to rise up, exalt oneself, to be haughty. So this is simply just pride and arrogance is all this is. So you seeing the beauty of this verse? Notice he mentions it twice. Exalting and exalting. That's for emphasis. He's emphasizing the word. And it shouldn't surprise you either that this word is in the passive voice, which is telling me that the sense of the self-importance or arrogance is being received. Guess what? We have a sin nature. And when we want to have the cake and eat the icing too, it sounds good, right? It sounds good. But it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. Because this kind of thing creeps in because we're human. It just happens that way. And you know as well as I do, when things are going smooth as they are, this creeps right in there. But look what God does in His grace. This is a buffer. He's saying, you know what, I already knew the sin nature was there. You can really see the grace aspect just doing cartwheels, just to make something happen in our lives up and close and personal so we don't exalt ourselves and then get off track to an even worse spot than we would have been if we didn't have that thorn. That's what this is saying. The passive voice is saying, you have a sin nature, it's not going away, you're going to receive this no matter what. Unless I can put a damper on it with a thorn. Because what suffering does to us is it redirects us many times, doesn't it? It redirects us to the source of the solution. It says, yes, I'm hurting, but when we're down like that, we're redirected upward to God Himself. We look for solutions to Him. So He's always three steps ahead of us, isn't He? So this is just talking, the passive voice is saying that this is something that will happen no matter what. So you can't get rid of it. And these kind of thoughts will continue to bubble up to the surface when life is going smooth. That's just unfortunately how it works. I can't explain it, but I know how to describe it, is that we have a sin nature. It's all there is to it. It amazes me how easily we get off track when things seem to be going good. It doesn't take long. Think about it. It can be a day with nothing happening, great weather, no problems, no pain, no suffering, and then all of a sudden, we get off track. So to me, it makes perfect sense why we have a thorn in the flesh. We need it. We need it. We need it. Thank God we have it. Thank God. Because we'd be off track and somewhere else, and this is the worst kind where we want to be. this is the worst thing. We don't want to be, you know, exalting ourselves, because we know the verses, how God feels about that. God makes war against this attitude. This is Satan's attitude in the rebellion. This is the attitude not to have, but it is in us, and God helps us. He helps us. This is the grace extension of God's hand in our lives. So unfortunately, we get complacent very quickly when we aren't in any pain and the circumstances seem to be going good. So as I already said, it's just that difficulty that redirects you. And also it keeps us humble. That's part of that grace piece of this. It keeps us humble. Because what's the opposite of arrogance? Humility. Humility. And God knows how to do that. He knows how to naturally direct the believer to that solution. So at one point, you got to think, okay, well, you know, you got to weigh these things out in your mind, because it'll drive you nuts if you weigh it in the wrong direction. Because the suffering, the adversity is not the winner, and it does not take the prize, because it is not, it doesn't have the benefits that we have through the suffering if we apply the word. Because we have to think about things differently. Remember, this isn't going to stop until we die. We're going to continue to suffer, but you can see, you can start to see why it's a good thing. We got to have it. So the thorn, you can say, is God's provision to Paul and to us, just like it is our protection. And we know that it hurts. We know that sometimes it's not fun. And you can hear Paul a little bit. You can see it here that he wants to remove it. He asked the Lord three times. He says, please remove it. In other words, it must have hurt. It must have not been fun. He's been through a lot at this point in his life. So when you look at somebody like Paul that has suffered, been beaten and thrown in prison, and you say he's asking, and he's a mature believer at this point, and he doesn't ask one time, he's asking three times. That's how bad his thorn is. So you got to say, well, maybe mine isn't that bad. Maybe it is. But look where Paul is in his spiritual life. He needed that bad thorn. I think there's some give and take when you start to mature in this direction. You have things that are available to you that are so powerful. And you have a way to go through the spiritual life that almost makes you untouched in a sense. Not by anything you do, because you're allowing God to control your life. Yes, we do have a volition, and yes, we can step out of that. But what I'm telling you is, when things are going good, we tend to fall, trip in just that direction, even though we are advancing. So, and Paul had to know this, because we can see it in the verse of we can see how this plays out. And he's telling us the story in this verse. But 2 Corinthians 12:8, it says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And here's the Lord answering. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, this is Paul speaking again, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. See, that's the solution. That's the result that Paul's referring to. He's just describing what's happening. This is something that happened in the past, and he's describing us this event to us right now. So God's grace is enough. It's enough. From the sounds of what the word sufficient means. The word means to be enough, to be sufficient, adequate, to be satisfied, content, continuing with the Lord's answer to Paul in verse 9. Look at this. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he says, for power is perfected in weakness. There's a word perfected here. It means to carry out or fulfill, to complete an activity or process, to bring to an end, to finish. So there's that process coming back in. We have suffering happening, and we have a spot where we are. It's weakness. It's weakness. And that's when we, remember, we look to the solution, and that's the completion aspect of this word. The perfected aspect, or the completed sense of this word, is us in our weakness. Faith is connecting the gap. Remember, faith is almost like just a road, and God coming down that road and meeting you with grace. That's what this is referring to, perfection. It's a process to bring it to an end, the power of God. So Christ is saying that through our limitation here, whether it be sickness or in the midst of getting hammered with a test or suffering, that His power can be brought to a complete state according to this word right here. So grace is what also completes the chain between our state in suffering and God's power. That's what's extended here. That's what's being extended. So there's almost like a bridging effect. You can see the completed aspect that God kind of constructs here. When we are suffering and the bridge connects us into His power that travels right through our weakness and our abilities. You see what gets diminished? What's happening in our lives? Or how bad it feels? The feeling. What we're going through. Because grace is sufficient. It's not only enough, but it's all we need. It's all we need. And God has to do these things to get us to that better place. Because remember, we're on the upward swing, and I have a feeling y'all aren't stopping. So be prepared for just this kind of thing. Paul is feeling it to the maximum right now. And this is what we have to look forward to. But I can guarantee you that it's worth it. Because what's happening in Paul's life is glorifying to God. This isn't going unaccounted for. This isn't just something you look back on your life and say, okay, I did that, I got through it, and I moved on. This is referring to eternal repercussions. Not just something you went through, something you can look back on and remember not only what you did then, but know for a fact that you did it just this way. And that has a big effect. It has a big impact to those around you, to your life, to how God deals with us. There's many things involved with this. And don't ever forget about blessing. God is there all the time. He never leaves you. He will never forsake you. And for that reason, He knows what's going on in your life. He has you personally in mind. He even knows the details. He knows the timing. He knows the finances. He knows every single thing about the process of what's happening. And we're the ones that have to take on the responsibility to know that. To come to that realization that I know that He knows that. And that's another part of the faith aspect where it comes in. And then continuing with 2 Corinthians on verse 9, 12:9, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So you can see in his thinking right here, what he's choosing. You can see he's flipped. He's choosing, I would rather boast in my weaknesses So just so that the power of Christ may dwell in him. So you can also see a contrast here. The contrast in Paul's writing and his thinking. After stating the Lord's words of power are perfected in weakness, there's a therefore that is giving us a result, which is because grace is being enough and Paul is being able to take part in God's power. There's that full completed aspect there. He would rather boast about his weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in him. So do you see what he wants to be proud of? Instead of the sin nature proud, he wants to be proud of what's happening in his circumstance. He wants to be proud of the suffering that God has actually given him. He's given it to him. He's saying, here, I want to put this thorn in you. I want to give you this suffering, this adversity, just for the reasons we talked about. And he's saying, I would rather that because look at what it provides me. Look at what it does to me. Look what it keeps me in track and in line and keeping advancing, moving spiritually. I want that instead of that. We just have to get better at it. We just have to learn how to get better at it. You know, it's really not... You're not dying, even though we all are dying. You could live with that thing for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, and that's okay. It's okay. God knows that, and he gives breaks. He gives breaks. He gives you, he lets you take a break, catch your wind, and then we get going again. God loves us so much. You know, he gives breaks. He gives water breaks. And that's what grace is all about. He doesn't just hammer us so hard where we just can't, you know, we don't want to do anything. We don't want to get up. Although sometimes we'll make ourselves think that, but that is not the case. We can't think that because there's too much available, too much that God is trying to do in our lives and the people around you. That's in a big part of this. We're just not talking about it. Circumstances, people you talk to, people. This is a very personal thing, I know. It has to do with us as individuals. But take into account the people around you. Who's in your lives? Who are you dealing with through all these things? It compounds things. You have this going on, you're dealing with this thorn, and then all of a sudden, now you have a new situation that is coming into that. Think about that. That's why it's so important to rely on God's sufficiency in the midst of this. We've got to, because it is enough. It's enough. So Paul, and because of God's grace, Paul is being able to take part in what God has to offer. So that's why he wants to boast about it in his weakness. So there's just a lot of advantage in suffering that the Christian has in his life. There is. It's all advantage. But we have to come to the realization of what the purpose is, why it's happening, and that it's a lot greater than ourselves. It's a lot greater than ourselves. I know sometimes we can exclude all those thoughts altogether because we just want it gone. But just think about some of these things that we're talking about because God knows specifically what's going on in your life. And if he wanted to just remove it, he would. But he knows better than we do. He knows better than I do. And he can't move it yet. We're not to the spot where we need it moved. And the reality is you don't want it moved. I'm telling you that because that is the truth. We cannot decide things like that because we don't know all the details. God does. He knows the details of why we have certain timing of suffering and why it takes this long to complete. He's in charge. Remember, he knows all the details. So, God, the bottom line is God is all-encompassing. He can protect us, even as growing, maturing believers with a sin nature. He can protect us from many, many, many bad decisions. And he does this with this grace aspect we're seeing right here, just to protect you from making bad decisions. And what does that do when you're down like this, we're suffering? It not only is he protecting you from the bad decisions, but it also, there's an aspect of you that is motivating you to make the right decisions. Because we want to do what is right. That's inherent in our person as people. We want to make the right decision, whether we do or we don't. That's a different story. But you have the motivation, at least, because we know the source. We know better, in other words, as believers. We know the source. We know the solution. And we want to make the right choice. We do. So, it's protection. There's a motivational aspect within suffering we need to perk up and see here. So, assuming you're on track in your spiritual growth, we can stop asking why. Why? Or stop. Or these types of questions. Because the benefit outweighs this. Believe it or not, you don't want it to stop. You say, no, yes, I do. I get it. I really get it. But we don't. God is just, we'll see. Some of these things we're going to see on this earth. Some of these things we're going to see in heaven. But we are going to be very glad that we made the decisions that we did when we're doing it for the Lord in this circumstances that we are in suffering. So, and don't forget about the glorifying to God aspect. That's in there too. That's part of the Christian way of life, remember? So, and now Paul, he kind of concludes this with describing the various kinds of suffering. This is where he starts describing the things that, now these things, this list is, it's amazing because we go through every single one of these things. But before he gets into them, look at what he says. Verse 10, he says, therefore I am well content. I'm well content. The verb means to consider something as good and therefore worthy of choice, to take delight in. That's what the word means. Therefore, I'm well content. This is what he chooses. This is his direction. So the present tense is saying that this is the way Paul thinks. This is how he's moving through life. This is what I consider as good, as the better option. Wow, right? This is where we need to be. This is the Christian life right here. We will be here if we're not here yet. Guarantee it. We will choose this because we know the other option. We know what happens when we get the cake and we get the icing too. We know what happens when we eat too much icing. I do too. It's good. I know. Love icing. It's too good. So, based on what Paul is saying here, this is how he thinks as a growing believer, and this is ingrained in him, present tense. So he understands the greatness of God's grace and how it overshadows the suffering. That's what he knows without a doubt in his life. And it really boils down to, what do we want to do? We have to ask ourselves, what do we want to do as believers? Do we want to stay in tune with our relationship with Christ, making right decisions, waiting on Him in the midst of suffering to see His power and use it? Or do we want to stay with a bad taste in our mouth? We've all done that. We've gone through suffering with just that bad taste in our mouth, because suffering tends to do that very quickly. If we're not on this deal right here, we've got a bad taste in our mouth, and then all of a sudden we're kind of wallowing in the human power, and we've rejected God's answer. We've rejected the solutions that we have because we've inverted the thought process to self. That is easy to do. Right? Poor me. That's not minimizing the suffering, but it's just part of the sin nature and part of the pain that kind of directs you to that position. That's a normal process. But it also puts us in a spot that's not good. So we need to think the way Paul is thinking. We need to be able to choose the right option. And we think and you know, when we go through these things, we think, okay, I know what's better, and I know what I consider the worthy choice, and that's what I'm going to decide. You've got to fight yourself sometimes, and you have to shove it down, because the sin nature wants to show its head and it wants to make decisions, but our volition God gave us is stronger, right? We can make the choice in the right direction. It's not saying you won't fail, but you have the power to make the right decisions. You do. The first thing, remember, that's part of salvation, right? We've been given the power over sin in our lives. So based on what Paul is saying here, there's just a huge contrast. And this is something that we need to embrace. And that's really the main focus of, I think, of this lesson, of seeing that contrast and then embracing this aspect right here. So you can see that the grace that God gives us, that He provides in both allowing the suffering just to protect us from ourselves and then providing Himself within the circumstance. That's what He's doing. He's almost doing double time. And then once we understand that He's doing all this, He's giving us assistance and benefit in the suffering, then we can embrace it. But we've got to just see it. We've got to connect the pieces just like we are now. Because without the pieces and the vision and the understanding, we simply get off track. That's what we do. So let's go through a couple of these. Paul says, therefore, I am well content with weakness. Weakness. These are the things that we all experience, by the way, because I went through these and I thought, wow. Weakness means a state of debilitating illness, sickness, even disease. It can mean a lack of confidence or feelings of inadequacy, to experience some personal incapacity or limitation. That's what weakness means here. Remember what Paul's talking about. I am well content in this position. In weakness. With insults. This is to experience insolence, shame, insult, mistreatment. So think about any mistreatment by others. This is one of those ones that happens sometimes and people tend to react. We tend to jump up, you know, bring it on, right? You got me where it hurts. Insults, Paul's content. That includes, and this is a personal thing, right? This is very personal. It's usually intentional, by the way. Insolence is rude or disrespectful behavior. Deals with injustice. So you didn't even do anything to deserve it. That's part of the game. That's how it works. This is all included in this suffering. So don't think just because you didn't do anything to deserve it that it wasn't supposed to happen. No, we're not talking about divine discipline. That's another lesson. We're referring to the growing believer that has got its protection through the suffering. And it can include these things right here. Insults include all these things. This is a common occurrence every week, if not every day, if you have kids. Well, it shouldn't be happening every day, right? Hopefully not. So when we first catch wind of any mistreatment coming your way, your thought process should go to what God is doing, not what the person who is mistreating you is doing. They're actually playing their part. This is by design. They're doing what they're supposed to do in the big picture. They're performing their function. Now, we have to perform our function because if there's someone you're being tested by and they're not growing spiritually, there's a purpose for you. Right? That's what God does. He brings people in your life as tests just for the fact of growing spiritually. And they'll get you right where it hurts. Like, man, that darn, you know, right? Just crawl, get up under your skin. That's how it goes. That's part of this stuff. Because without the suffering aspect, it just doesn't work. It doesn't redirect us. So it's got to be difficult. And then with distresses, this is a state of distress or trouble, calamity or pressure. See how this is just going? I mean, this is covering everything in life that happens to us. Who doesn't have trouble, distress, pressure? So, well, I didn't think we got a few more of these to go, and we're already up to the time. We can do one more. Paul says, with persecutions. This is an interesting one. It's a program or a process designed to harass and oppress someone. Now, I don't think this is happening just yet in the United States, but Paul saw it, and we may see it. Who knows? You know, we're seeing hints of that, I think, right? We're seeing some freedoms being taken away. That's subtle things that are leading in that direction. Persecution, a process designed to oppress. That should perk your ears up. Very possible. Last I checked, this is the beginning stages that we're in towards oppression and persecution, it seems like, if it continues that way. We are definitely, I know for a fact, seeing the suppression of truth. And some people are waking up to that fact, and others, unfortunately, are not. Well, this Sunday, we'll continue this verse, and we will talk about the benefits of suffering some more, because there's more benefits. And we'll flesh this out a little bit more and see where God leads us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for just your power in our lives, because we cannot do it, and we know we cannot do it. And the reason for that is because you've designed it in such a way to where we're not supposed to be able to do it. And we just thank you so much for that, because we know that you've given us so much more powerful than we can even offer or bring to the table, that it's mind-blowing. And we just want to come to the position in our lives where we're growing enough spiritually. We love you. We want to stay in the relationship, and we want to continue to that next place in our lives, because we know the alternative. We know the alternative. But we want to continue down this road, and we want to make the right decisions. That's where we're at. That's where we want to put it on the line. And I pray that if we aren't there, that we will get there, because we want to glorify you. And most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his gift, dying on the cross for our sins, and making that available to us by faith, trusting in him. Once saved, always saved. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.